For years and years, heating has meant boilers, and boilers have meant breakdowns. Over here and over here. Anything but music to your ears. At Fisher Future Heat, we create state-of-the-art home heating systems that we fit, then you forget. With no annual servicing needed and a huge 10-year guarantee. In short, we engineer common sense. Search Fisher Future Heat today. Fisher Future Heat. The future is electric.
With the gods as our witnesses, let us pledge that the winner will allow the loser all the proper funeral rituals.
There are no pacts between lions and men.
No, you're a killer!
Sir, yes, sir!
Let me see your war face! Ah! That's a war face! Now let me see your war face! Ah!
Greetings, fight fans, to the 12th episode of In the Squared Circle here on the Leave It in the Ring network of David Dueñas. Last week, we weren't able to be with you because we had some technical difficulties, but hopefully we have fixed them now, and we're back with your 30-minute or less boxing show where we give you all the fight results, the news, and the upcoming schedule here on the In the Squared Circle. My name is Felipe Leon, international editor of FightNews.com. I'm also the co-host of Boxeo Tijuana TV. That's every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Pacific on YouTube on the Boxeo Tijuana channel, or you could catch us on BoxeoTijuana.com. I do that show with my co-host Renzo Novara. It's in Spanish. It's live. It's on YouTube. You can see us on there, Boxeo Tijuana channel. Every Tuesday, 8 p.m. Pacific time, you could call in, talk to us if you are of the Spanish persuasion. Also, every other week here on the Leave It in the Ring network, the 2-minute round with David Avila and Liz Quevedo Parr, where we talk about all female boxing. We had a great show last week, and in our first show, we had Tom Loeffler talking about the big show coming up on April 23rd at the Forum in Los Angeles, where there's going to be 2 female fights on the fight card. And then also, I'm on the Leave It in the Ring, the show, the flagship show here with David Dueñas and Gabriel Montoya. I'm one of the rotating co-hosts on there. So pretty much this should change the channel from Leave It in the Ring to Leave It to Felipe Leon, because I'm the jack of all trades here. You could also find me on Twitter at SD Fights. Again, it's at S as in Sam, D as in David, and Fights. And with that said, let's go to our first segment of the show, what we like to call Hooks and Jabs, which is the news of the last week. Well, it looks like Adrian the Problem Broner is starting to be a problem since a warrant was issued for his arrest last week, where he's accused of assault and aggravated robbery. It looks like some months ago, Broner was bowling, of all things, at some, obviously, bowling alley, and he was gambling, and then I guess he got into a little bit of some words with the guy that he was gambling with. They went outside, and allegedly Adrian Broner beat the crap out of the guy, and then he got a gun, and he beat him with the gun, and then he was seen, allegedly, going through the guy's pockets. That's where the robbery comes in. And then he took off. The guy obviously went to the police. He ended up in the hospital. So now there is a warrant issued for his arrest. This news came out late last week. But since then, I haven't heard anything. The only thing that I did see is that Dan Raphael of ESPN ended up having a conversation through either Twitter or DM in Twitter or something, asking Broner if this incident was going to stop him from fighting April 1st, and it doesn't look like it will. So it looks like his upcoming fight for this Friday night, which we're going to talk about later in the upcoming calendar, is still on against Ashley Theophane. So that's what's going on with Adrian Broner there. In other news, Floyd Mayweather Jr., even though he retired last September after his fight against Andre Berto, still in the news, says that if Gennady Golovkin, Triple G, wants to fight him, first Triple G needs to call out Andre Ward and defeat Andre Ward, and then Floyd would maybe consider facing Triple G. I think that's a bunch of baloney. I think he's just trying to stay in the news. But he did say that he would consider coming back against Danny Swift Garcia. The reason he said that is because Danny Swift Garcia is a champion and undefeated. But last time I checked, isn't Gennady Golovkin a champion and also undefeated as of right now? So Floyd, you know, being Floyd, saying what he wants to say or what he needs to say is staying in the news. But there you go. Floyd Mayweather stating that if Gennady Golovkin wants to face him, which Gennady Golovkin has stated that he would go down to 154 pounds only for Floyd Mayweather. Well, Floyd Mayweather says, slow down, partner. You need to face Andre Ward first. But I think even if he did face Andre Ward, Floyd Mayweather doesn't want no part of Gennady Golovkin. And it looks like July is the date after a lot of hemming and hawing, and it's going to happen and it's not going to happen. It looks like the new date, or at least the tentative date that they're talking about for the rematch between former heavyweight champion Vladimir Klitschko and newly crowned heavyweight champion Tyson Fury, is set for July. Looks like the fight will be somewhere in England. The details are still being talked over, but it looks like at least we have a date. If you guys remember, Tyson Fury beat Vladimir Klitschko at the end of last year, but they did have a rematch clause. None of them have fought since. And since Tyson Fury was stripped of his IBF title because he obviously couldn't defend it against one of the top contenders because of the rematch clause, Charles Martin, the American, ended up winning that title and now will be defending it on April 9th against Anthony Joshua in London, England. So they will be fighting Tyson Fury and Vladimir Klitschko for the WBO and WBA heavyweight title. And after a fight that we've been looking forward to, but it has not happened, they have not consummated, they have not been able to reach an agreement, it's between Vasyl Lomachenko and Nicholas the Axeman Walters at super featherweight. It looks like first HBO passed on it, then they spoke again with Top Rank, and by what I read and by the accounts that have been stated, it looks like HBO made an offer of $1 million for the fight. That would mean that that $1 million needs to pay for Lomachenko and Walters, as well as probably a little piece for Top Rank and the logistics and the rest of the card. Well, Nicholas Walters, the Jamaican, wants $1 million all for himself. So that's what's stopping the fight right now. Looks like after a little bit of coming of back and forth, Nicholas Walters went down on his demand of the purse, but it wasn't enough. And it got to the point where Lomachenko actually offered to pay him $300,000 out of his own purse to face Nicholas Walters. But even though after that offer, Nicholas Walters has not signed on the dotted line, so we don't know if that fight's going to happen. A lot of boxing pundits, a lot of fans out there think that the time has passed and that fight will not be happening. And in surprising news, I don't know what's more surprising, Sugar Shane Mosley announced that he will be trained for his next fight by none other than Manos de Piedra Roberto Duran. But I don't know if that's more surprising than the fact that Shane Mosley stated that his next fight, which is set for May 28th at the Gila River Arena in Glendale, Arizona, and it'll be broadcast live by CBS Sports Network, will be for the welterweight WBA title against David Avanesian. So I don't know what's more surprising, that Roberto Duran is going to be training him, or that Shane Mosley is actually going to challenge for another world title, despite, you know, not really fighting anybody of note. His last fight was last August, I believe, against Ricardo Mayorga, and now he's actually challenging for a world title on May 28th. Now, that's the news for the last week. The most important news, let's go to the fight results. Friday, March 25th, from the Fantasy Springs Casino in Indio, California, Golden Boy Promotions brought us on Estrella TV, Antonio Relentless Orozco from right here nearby San Diego, California, made a statement by stopping ex-world champion Miguel Acosta in the first round of a Schedule 10 in the semi-main event. Andrew Cancio there from nearby, I think he's from Indio, Coachella, right around there, stopped former champion Hugo Cáceres in three rounds, while Jason the Animal Quigley stopped late sub Freddy Lopez in one. Same night, Friday, March 25th, but from the Buffalo Run Casino in Miami, Oklahoma, DiBella Entertainment, as well as, you know, premier boxing champions, presented on Showtime, Regis Progreyes, stopping Aaron La Hoya Herrera in one round in a welterweight 10-rounder, while Willie Nelson, not the country singer, stopped Jonathan Batista in two in the super welterweight division. And also on the same card, the Paul Williams-trained Justin Deloach, scoring quite possibly the knockout of the year so far against Dylan Cook in the fourth round of a scheduled eight in the super welterweight arena, welterweight category. The next night, Saturday, March 26th, from the Wembley Arena in London, Chris Eubank Jr. stopped Nick Blackwell in the 10th round of a scheduled 12, I'm sorry, for the British 160-pound title. Unfortunately, Blackwell collapsed in the ring after getting checked out by the doctor for a huge swelling over his left eye. He's being treated for a brain bleed. It looks like he did not require any surgery, but he was in an induced coma as of late Saturday, and hopefully he would recuperate quickly. No news yet of his... it looks like he's getting better. It looks like he's getting better and not worse, so hopefully we have a good result coming out of that situation over there in the United Kingdom. On the same card, the cousin of the aforementioned Tyson Fury, Huey Fury, Tyson Fury, okay, guy's name's Tyson Fury, he's named after Tyson, Mike Tyson, obviously, but who the hell is Huey Fury? Don't tell me it's Huey Lewis and the News that he's named after, but it wouldn't surprise me. Anyways, he defeated Dominic Gwynn via points in a 10-rounder. Same night, same country, but in a different area, from Sheffield Arena on Saturday, March 26th, Kell Brook defended his IBF welterweight title with the blazing second-round knockout of Kevin Bisier. Now the talk for Kell Brook is that he was contacted by HBO for perhaps a summer showdown with Miguel Cotto, but his promoter, Eddie Hearn, believes that Miguel Cotto doesn't actually want the fight, that it's HBO trying to make it, and they actually were so brazen in calling out Gennady Golovkin at 157 pounds. So Kell Brook and his promoter, Eddie Hearn, asking for a Gennady Golovkin fight at a catch weight of 150 pounds. So I don't think that's going to happen, but let's see if they keep asking for it. Same night, Saturday, March 26th, from the Oracle Arena in Oakland, California, Rock Nation presented on HBO the return of the SOG, the Son of God, Andre Ward, who won a unanimous decision over previously undefeated Cuban Sullivan Barrera. Barrera was dropped with a pretty short, I think it was a, was it an overhand right or left hook? I watched the highlight. But it was a short little punch that dropped him to the top of the head in the third round. Ward was deducted a point in the eighth for low blows. Scores were 117-108, 119-109, and 117-109, which this was the pro was actually not the pro debut, but the debut of Andre Ward in the light heavyweight division, 175 pounds. And obviously what everybody's talking about is the fight in November against Sergey Kovalev, a for sure pay-per-view. It seems like both of them want to fight. It looks like Andre Ward says that he has nothing to fear in Sergey Kovalev. It looks like he feels comfortable at that weight. He did take care of this previously undefeated Sullivan Barrera, who is trained by Abel Sanchez and who was a little bit on a run. And Andre Ward clearly dominated him. So now it's a matter to if they can actually put that fight together between Ward and Sergey Kovalev, which should be easy to make, since as far as I know, one of the conditions for Andre Ward signing a multi-year, multi-fight contract with HBO is because he agreed to face Sergey Kovalev in the fall. So let's see if they can make that happen. Also on the undercard in the semi-main event, Joseph Jojo Diaz won a unanimous decision over Jason Velez, the Puerto Rican. He defended his NABF featherweight title. Scores were 100-91, 99-91, and 98-92. That was the action this last weekend. And now we go to the last segment of the show, your 30-minute or less boxing review for the last week in the Square Circle with Felipe León. And we go to the upcoming calendar. April 1st from the Belasco Theater in downtown Los Angeles, Golden Boy Promotions will present on Estrella TV featherweight Manuel Avila as he takes on René Alvarado in a 10-rounder, and Gilberto González takes on Luis Arceo from Tijuana in an 8-round lightweight contest. Same night, April 1st from the DC Armory in Washington, D.C., the PBC, the Premier Boxing Champions on Spike TV, brings us a WBA super lightweight title fight between the champ Adrian the Problem Broner and Ashley Theophane of the Money Team in a 12-rounder. Also in the semi-main event, Robert Easter Jr. versus Algenis Mendez in a lightweight 10-rounder, and Anthony Peterson the Loco versus Samuel Cote Nequeye in a lightweight 10-rounder. Also on the card, Jalon Love at super middleweight against Michael Kabenga in a 10-rounder. Next night, Saturday, April 2nd, from the Hartwall Arena in Finland, Robert Helenius versus Johan Duhapas in a heavyweight 12-rounder for the vacant WBC silver title. The winner of there should be the mandatory challenger soon for the winner between Deontay Wilder and Alexander Povetkin later on this year from Russia. Same night from the Toruń Arena in Krakow, Poland, former champ Tomasz Adamek will take on Eric Molina in a heavyweight 12-rounder for the vacant IBF Intercontinental title. Whoever wins that fight will be ranked, I'm sure, in the top 10, if not in the top 5, and could be one of the future challengers for the winner between the champ right now, Charles Martin, and Anthony Joshua. That fight takes place on April 9th from London, England. So Tomasz Adamek against Eric Molina, winner there, looking for a shot at the IBF heavyweight title. And for last but not least, Saturday, April 2nd, from the Ocean View Pavilion in Port Hueneme in California, Top Rank presents on the Unimass channel Francisco Santana versus Ed Paredes in a welterweight 10-rounder, and Luis Ramos Jr. against former IBF featherweight champion Cristobal Lacandon Cruz in a lightweight, I believe it's an 8 or a 10 rounder. And that, my friends, is the upcoming calendar for this week, the week of March 28th. And we have come to the conclusion of this, the 12th episode of In the Squared Circle, your 30-minute or less boxing review show, where we give you all the news and notes, the fight results, and the upcoming calendar here on the Leave It in the Ring network of David Dueñas. My name is Felipe León, international editor of FightNews.com, and also co-host of Boxeo Tijuana TV every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Pacific time in Spanish on YouTube. Check out the Boxeo Tijuana One Word channel on YouTube. Also, every other week, next show, April 7th, the 2-minute round with my co-hosts David Avila and Liz Quevedo Parr, where we give you all the recent fight results and news regarding female boxing. That's every 2 weeks. Our next show is April 7th. We will look to have some interviews with some of the participants of the April 23rd show at the Forum in Los Angeles. We might have Cines Estrada on there, Amaris Quintana, Kenny Enriquez. We might have them on the show. We'll have them on the following show, but we'll be talking all female boxing on April 7th here on the Leave It in the Ring network, 6 p.m. Pacific time, the 2-minute round with myself, Felipe León, David Avila, and Liz Quevedo Parr, and also every Wednesday with David Dueñas and Gabriel Montoya on the flagship show, Leave It in the Ring. Monday nights, we have the next round at, I believe, 4 p.m. Pacific time with Steve Kim and Gabriel Montoya. And on Fridays, we have the basketball show Damn, I forgot the name again. I'm sorry. I'm not a big basketball fan. Well, friends, thank you for listening. We'll be back here next week. Hopefully, you like the sound of it. I know that a lot of you guys have had some issues with the sound, but I think we've got it handled on the In the Squared Circle. And with that, I bid you all a farewell.
You don't scare me. We're fine.
Time to say goodnight to inefficient night storage heaters. Bulky, unattractive, with no precise control, leaving you boiling in the morning and rather chilly at night. So tune in to Fisher Future Heat. Home heating systems that give you a steady, controllable supply of heat 24 hours a day. Search Fisher Future Heat today. Fisher Future Heat. The future is electric.